From the front lines, from the tailgates, representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. We can be streamed live on bleedblueshow.com. iTunes podcast for public tuning and your Stitcher apps to download episodes onto your handheld devices, tablets. This is the recap, post-Thanksgiving recap. Just to get into the world of sports, our teams, and a little bit just as far as what we kind of overview of what we have said on the past episodes, you know, Knicks, Giants, Yankee, Rangers, NBA, NFL, college football, Major League Baseball. And I just wanted to start off, well, I actually wanted to start off with the college football. I might hold off a little bit later to that. I want to get into that on what I thought on some of the games, especially the big game between Michigan and Ohio State. Let me start with the NFL. Talking about our Giants first and then the NFL at large. The Giants defeating the Browns, there's no shock. They're going to the record at 8-3, right now at the top spot in the wild card position. And you heard the guys on the postgame roundtable. You could get that on bleedblueshow.com/podcast to hear all the stakeholders sound off after the Giants went over the Browns. In that situation, where I thought from my own eyes, and I kind of said a little bit of my two cents on that episode, that the Giants kind of let the Browns hang around as they normally would have with any other team. They're going to play ugly football. They're going to be they're not going to blow you out. Well, I don't think there's going to be games that they're going to blow you out because of the situations they have in the trenches in the offensive line. Now, a lot of fans can get on Eli Manning, and I get it, because he could make the most difficult throw look easy, but to make the most easiest throw look difficult. I understand that. Sometimes he missed guys, underthrows them, overthrows them. But sometimes when we need a big catch, and like the pass to Cruz up the sidelines, he'll make the necessary pass, or allow the receivers to make the yards after the catch, as he did with Odell Beckham Jr. a couple of those times, to really get those touchdowns. Defensively, the D-line has played very good, the run defense especially. That's actually been the story, I think, for the most part of the season. Is the run defense has been very stout, very, very good. With Jonathan Hankins, Damon Snacks Harrison, Olivier Vernon, who's come on with getting, now you're getting the sack numbers up through him, along with the pressures and actually defensively stopping the run. And Jason Pierre-Paul had a very good game as well with the sacks and also the, I guess you could call it, interception, fumble return for a touchdown in that game. And really getting warmed up, because now that soft part of the schedule for the Giants is now out of the way. Now you got to go to at Pittsburgh, and you got Philadelphia, Detroit, Washington. You got some pretty good teams in the way by the end of the season. And as far as the Giants, I think they have done what they needed to do. If I had to go back, and now them sitting at 8-3, I think there's one game they left on the table, and I definitely believe it was Week 3 at home versus Washington, and they get the chance to redeem themselves. Week 17 in Washington, who knows what kind of meaningful game that would be, depending on how things go. Now you can look at that two ways, because I wanted to talk about that with the NFL, Thanksgiving games as well, between the other NFC East teams, the Cowboys and the Redskins. But as far as the Giants, they've done all they needed to do. They've done, I say, 8-3. I think that's the only game, the Redskins game, they left on the table. They looked at real ugly versus the Vikings. I thought the Vikings was very strong at that point. The Green Bay game was ugly as well. But, you know, never say the less. But, Chris, just talking a little bit of Giants, recapping where they are right now up until this point, right? Well, now, you guys have been enthusiastic, very jubilee as far as where they've been at up until this point. You think we left a game or two on the schedule? How's it looking down the stretch for our guys? And welcome to you, sir.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'm gonna tell you what. Every week, we say the same thing. We start off at the beginning of the season with, man, in order to get a very good hype and jump to this season, we got to beat the Cowboys in Dallas. You were there, Steve. We did it. The next week, hey, we can't let Drew Brees get off on us. And he didn't, actually.
You was at that game.
I was at that. That wasn't the cutest performance, but it worked. It got a W in the column. So now we're feeling ourselves, and we say, man, if we beat the Redskins, I mean, this is very important. We'll be 2-0 in the conference. Well, we didn't win that one. But we have a love-hate relationship. Not hate. Love respect kind of relationship with the Giants, the New York Football Giants. And this is one of those weeks here, Steve, this is a week where if we defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers, our longtime rival and franchise friends, if we defeat them, then the respect level from the rest of the league heightens. That's what happens here. Right now, we're kind of quiet. In fact, yesterday's podcast reflected a lot of that. It was, well, you know, I like the fact that a lot of our stakeholders were, yeah, I like the fact that we're down low. They're not talking about us. We're in the dark. That's good. But at the same time, you know, if we expect to be a winning, successful franchise, and this goes for all the KYGR clubs, if we expect to be respected down the stretch through the season, or whatever, however shape, way, fashion, or form you put it, then we have to win every game, in order to be seen, if you will. And everything is important from here on in. The Lions are dangerous. We still got the Eagles. We still got the Redskins. We still got the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Steelers. This will be the perfect jump off because the Steelers are a very good team. So how does it look for the rest of the season? Tough. We have to play our best football. So far, we've been getting by. Just on guile, really. You know, we've had holes in different parts of the lines and different parts of our offense. But for the most part, we don't seem to be able to run very well. But for the most part, we have come up smelling well. You know, and it hasn't been lucky, and it's been a tough kind of. I would say we're playing cerebral ball and being successful at it. So it looks tough from here on in. That's what I'm looking at. But it's not over. I mean, we can compete, but we're not going to be competing against the Saps of the league. We've got some tough games ahead.
Let me ask you this about the running game with the Giants. Do you believe they're doing as much as they possibly can? I mean, I could see them really sticking to the play sheet. If you look at the run to pass distribution, it was dead even. Eli threw the ball 27 times. They ran it 27 times. Right. So, I mean, they are striving for balance. Let me ask your personal definition on effectively how many yards rushing is a good day rushing, and take into account yards per average. I always thought the goal was like 4 to 4.5 to be on average, you know?
If we had, of course it is, if we had a line like an offensive line like the Cowboys or one like the New England Patriots, yeah, that 4.5 is great. With this team, with this kind of line, I used to look at the running backs on this team, Steve, the last 2 years, and I would look at Jennings sort of like creep first before he burst, and there was no bursting after you creeped, you know, you made your 4 or 5 steps to the left, you know. It was over with. You got caught. He was always looking for a hole, and I said, you need to stop doing that. But also, I had to look realistically. I had to look at the fact that Andre Williams did it, the fact that Paul Perkins did it a lot yesterday. I always was an advocate of Orleans Darkwa playing because he burst. You know, he didn't wait necessarily on his linemen. He was visually enhanced to where he just sort of play developed. And he'd go with that, and I like that. I don't know whether there's some kind of disconnect. This is what's happening. There's some kind of disconnect between the offense, between the running backs of the New York Football Giants and the agility of the offensive line that we have. There's some kind
of, absolutely.
There is no confidence there. There is no trust there in terms of how our runners make a play develop. Now, if you're going to have a successful running attack, then you have to have a very good line. We don't have a very good line, but I'm tired of that whining. Somehow we ended up, you know, we had a, last year we had one of the worst rushing years in NFL history, 14. One of the worst. But, and it could be argued that, yes, we could have won every game. I mean, we could have won, if we didn't lose faith in six of those games in the fourth quarter, that we could have had a much better record and marched into the playoffs. Yes, there's some truth to that. But the other part about that is the fact that those, maybe certain plays didn't run certain plays through the backfield because there was no confidence. So there's always something. Then this problem has lasted, you know, it's turned on to this year, but we're winning the game. So my philosophy is with a team like this, with the New York Giants running attack thus far and going forward, if we can get 106 yards and a 3.5 average, I would be pretty satisfied.
Okay, stop right there. Because yesterday the Giants got 104 yards on the ground, 3.9 per average. With Rashad Shepard had a lot to do with that on that end around, making that average bump up. But Rashad got you 3.7 yards a carry. So
yes,
he met your demands, right? Would you say
yes? Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I would say that was because, you know, like you said at the beginning, the mix of plays was perfect, and I think that's what McAdoo wanted. That's what we need to start doing. However, I don't know if there is a lot of love for. Excuse me, sir, for a second, Steve. We have a technical problem here. I'm not sure if he even has a lot of confidence in our line. It's about the line. And I don't
want
to whine about the line anymore because it's an old, tired argument. We know what's going on. We have to play with what we have. There is no trade, quote-unquote trade deadline anymore. We have to deal with what we have. And so there's no use arguing or whining about it. The Giants have what they have. They are what they are. We have some explosive players.
Mm-hmm.
Say it. I'm sorry.
I was going to say. No, finish your point because I was going to come back and say what I think about the line. Go ahead. Finish your point. I got you.
The line is the line can be very much vastly improved with better talent, and we just don't have it. We have to work with what we have. That's all I was really trying to say.
I agree. That's where I was going to go with. I mean, for what it is. We may not get to, like, you know, rushing for 4.5 yards of carry, 150 yards between multiple running backs. But the line as it stands, I've said it before on prior roundtables. The line is not really the guys who are on the line as of right now. They're not monsters. They're not maulers. They could pass for
right.
that. They're good on that. As a matter of fact, they have kept Eli Manning upright. I think he hasn't even had that many sacks total all year.
Not,
he hasn't been really killed. I mean, we've seen some years where he's actually had a better line, but he's been getting killed, you know?
The favorite San Francisco championship NFC game
for example,
2012.
He had a better line then. Well, he was going up against the front defense, too, though. That was a very good defense. That
Ooh.
Night.
Yeah. So that's the game that made me fall in love with him right there.
So let me jump shit. Since we were talking about the Giants, what about the Thanksgiving Day game? Because, you know, we talk about the NFL as well here on this recap with, you know, the Redskins game, the Cowboy game. The Redskins could have stopped a nosebleed. I mean, I think that's the only thing I could make out of that Cowboy game. The Redskins put up so much yards. I mean, Kirk Cousins was doing his thing all over the field. I think they have a better offense than the Giants do. I mean, they have the better production. They just can't stop nobody. What did you take out of that game with the Cowboys and Redskins?
Steve, you know me already. I am, I guess it's the educator in me or something like that, but I like to, and they don't do this very often during any sporting event, but I like to look at the benches. I like to look at your energy on your, no matter what sport you're in, I like to see what you're doing. And hockey's my favorite one to do that in, but football is always very interesting because it shows me exactly at what level of heightened excitement, let's say, that you're working with. And to me, that particular game, I'm sorry, I really did feel that at the end of the fourth quarter, it seemed like there was some kind of fear, and I don't know why, in Washington's eyes. It was almost like they woke up and went, you know, we have a chance to win. And they sort of reacted. Look, they had a chance to win this game as early as the damn second quarter. And I believe that they didn't execute simply because of the very same thing that the Giants are always accused of being, playing to someone's strengths or weaknesses. And I believe if the defense of the Cowboys, and I'm just looking at, I didn't see the entire game, but I saw a good 2.5 quarters. The defense of the Cowboys were not world stoppers. You know, they got exploited a few times. Cousins missed DeSean Jackson. Maybe we saw the two explosive plays, but there were about three more that he missed them on. And Pierre Garçon also put the fear of death in Scandrick and the other cornerback that they switched on to him later on in the game. They didn't know what to do with him.
Yes,
who turns out to be his weak. I'm glad we didn't get him. I was an advocate for him joining the Giants some time ago. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that, Steve. I really cannot comment on that, because my thing on that game was I kept looking at it saying, damn it, I was thinking New York Giants the entire time. That's where my focus was. It wasn't on that game per se, as much as it was on, look, what happens if Washington wins? Where are we in the standings? Blah, blah, blah. What happens? We already beat Dallas once. What happens should they win this game? What kind of position are they in going down the stretch? All of these things are going through my mind. And then, but the thing I came across, came away with that game with, was that Dak Prescott is very underrated.
Yes, he is. He's a very good player.
He's very poised. Yep. And he's very steady. He does not look like a rookie at all.
No, he doesn't.
He's been sitting there for about 3 years and finally got a chance. And, you know, people were asking me, well, you know, hey, what do you think about Romo when he comes? I don't care. I'm sorry. I've got a team in New York. I got a team up in New Jersey who I care deeply about. They have a very good chance of smacking the heck out of both of these teams. And I want that to happen. So I'm sorry, Steve. I wasn't focused like that.
So as of right now through, I don't know, 10, 11 games, the Cowboys are right now probably, if we were to look at this objectively, not through our bleed blue lens, through the Giants, because we believe we could still beat, I still think we could beat the Cowboys anyway, but would you say that the Cowboys are probably, based on their record, the favorite, are there any NFC threats? Does Seattle worry you? I mean, this is the thing. Let me go to Seattle. Let me ask you about Seattle. That's what I was about to ask you. Like, how do you go to New England and win, but go to, you know, then Tampa Bay, and you didn't even get a touchdown? Matter of fact, you only got a field goal in that game because the other 2 points were through your defense. So, who are the NFC threats? How do you feel about Seattle? I'm going through some of these NFC teams. How do you feel about Seattle?
Before yesterday's game, I thought they were the most formidable team in the NFC. And they still may be, but please. Did they even show up? And also Russell Wilson, let's ask a better question. Did he show up? That's where I had a problem with. I would say it was them before yesterday's game. I would say I'm not really, and I'm not looking at bleed blue eyes here, Steve. I'm not really all that convinced that the Cowboys are world beaters. I'm just not all the way there yet. But they have to be considered the favorites nonetheless. This has been one of the strangest NFL seasons I've ever seen. I don't get it. Green Bay disappears. The Lions keep winning. We talk about us. The Lions, they keep winning games.
Well, secondary disappeared. I don't know about their offense. The offense has been there. The defense hasn't been there. The secondary hasn't been there.
What defense? Really?
But they need to do the Giants a favor and finish off. Let me actually flip that question. We'll go through the NFC teams down the line. Who do we, as we record this episode on Monday, who we really want to win. Do we want Philly to win? Or if Green Bay wins, do they get back into the wild card picture because they have the tiebreaker on us on a head-to-head? Philly kind of shot themselves in the foot in Seattle. So, you're an Eagle hater. How do you feel about this game? Who would you rather lose? I mean, as far as what would benefit the Giants more? Because we still have that head-to-head to Philly. I don't worry about going at Philly. What's your thoughts? Because Green Bay already beat us.
Green Bay beat us already. I am going to be an advocate right now on Green Bay winning tonight.
Wow.
Well, let me second thought that. I don't mean that yet. Because, the Eagles, should the Eagles win this? What is this? This is 6-5 for them, correct?
If Eagles win, they will go one game over 500. The Packers are actually two games under 500.
Either way, these two teams are going to have to go on a road playoff.
Absolutely.
I'd like to see Green Bay.
Okay.
I'll tell you
why. I think so too. Me too.
Yeah. Second defensively. Defensively, Eli will pick them apart. He'll pick them apart. I know he will. The Eagles, there's a weird kind of attitude when we play that team. It's really something. It's shrouded in mystique. There have been some strange games. The rivalry is ridiculous. The last thing I need to see, and this is a fear, is for the Philadelphia Eagles to come into our stadium and win a playoff game right now.
Well, they've done that in 08 or 09. They did that. Remember when we had the hot start after the Super Bowl?
Yeah, 09.
At the Old House.
We had 11. We had 11 points.
Yep, correct. 23-11. The Old House.
Yeah, I just wanted to cry. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was painful.
I can't have that. I can't live with that. That situation could
never happen. I don't think so. I mean, that probability is probably 2%.
I'd rather see Green Bay.
Okay.
But I'd rather see Green Bay to answer your question.
Okay, so Seattle, before yesterday, you were the World Beaters. Now after Tampa Bay, how do you feel about them?
Well, their defense is always going to be a beast. I'll give them that. I'm not really sure what the hell they're doing on the other side of the ball. I don't know what they're thinking. This was an easy question yesterday around 4 o'clock. So let me see. Let's go back. I would say Seattle. Now, all of a sudden, Atlanta's in the picture. I don't know what to think of that, but Seattle.
I was going to get to the South. Yeah, what about, you said Seattle, Falcons. What about Falcons and now Tampa Bay? How do you feel about them?
Maybe not Tampa Bay, right, because they've got new refound energy. I'm looking at Detroit. What do we got to have, 6 teams, correct?
I mean, how do you feel about all those teams?
I think three from this division could go by themselves. Okay. I think it might just be tight that way. And the other three would be Detroit, Seattle, and you've got to change the subject. I mean, you got to flip the script here. You got to tell me about Atlanta because I don't get them, and they're 7-4.
They're one of those teams like they could put up a lot of points, especially at home. They're a classic dome team. If they're in the dome, they could play with anybody in the league. But as you see, if they're outside in a hostile environment, i.e. Philadelphia, they could struggle.
Right.
And it's just pretty much that clear. Their defense isn't really all that at all. They have a couple of pass rushers like Vic Beasley from Clemson. It's really a Matt Ryan-driven team with Julio Jones, but now you have outside weapons like Mohamed Sanu that came over from Cincinnati, and you also had the Gabriel kid who's a speedster, and then you already know about the backfield.
Wow. Yeah.
Interchangeable with Coleman and Freeman. So, I mean, they could put up points. I mean, you know, if they could get the division. It was not far-fetched because it's definitely a three-team race between the Buccaneers and the Saints and themselves. I think the Panthers are done because now the Panthers – because the Panthers got to go to Seattle on Sunday night after a tough loss in Oakland. I think they're done,
wow.
The Panthers. Because I thought the Panthers would have had a run in them starting with the Raiders, but that didn't happen.
They're not there at all.
I mean, Detroit is one of those teams. I would say they're a classic dome team like the Falcons, but I think that's a team that I don't think a lot of people had them win in the North. I think it was a two-team race between the Packers and the Vikings, and Stafford has a slew of weapons. Maybe that's probably better for his career, knowing that he doesn't have to always throw to Megatron, you know, or feel obligated to throw Megatron. Now you could mix it up with Golden Tate and Eric Ebron and Anquan Boldin, guys like that all over the field. They got the tiebreaker on the Vikings. They beat them twice.
That's right.
The Giants have to face them too in December. That's going to be interesting. But that game is in New York, and we call it a little bit of the revenge game because I still can't get the taste out of my mouth after that opening game we played against them a couple seasons ago. Remember that?
Yes, I do. That hurt. I remember you texting me saying this is not good.
But the Redskins, I still think is they still got weapons, man. I think they could still win. I got to check out their schedule, see how they're doing. Let me ask you this one. Let me go to the AFC side. What you make out of the AFC West? We already know about the Patriots. That's boring talk.
The Raiders.
How do you feel?
Oh, my God.
Okay, yeah, talk about the Raiders.
Hey, man, look. With Derek Carr, I don't know whether I felt he broke his finger on that snap yesterday. He went to the locker room. He came back out and played. I mean, not only did he play, but he played with confidence. I said to myself, well, that's some Kenny Stabler shit right there, you know? And I went, man, this team is something else. Their weaponry is kind of ridiculous, you know, offensively and defensively. Defensively, Mac is probably going to be a monster for years to come, Steve. We're probably going to see he's going to play at a crazy level probably another five seasons. I mean, a nutty level. You know, everybody's talking about Von Miller in that same division. This guy is the real guy.
That's actually a division loaded with linebacker pass rushers. I mean, do you think – let me ask you this. Let's put it out there. Do you think Khalil Mack is the best linebacker in that division? I could throw out –
yes, I
you know, you mentioned
do.
Von Miller. We could mention Justin Houston from the Chiefs.
Yes, we could. Who's
the best linebacker in the division?
That's it. I don't see – somebody's on San Diego that I loved, but I haven't watched them all year, so I'm sorry about that. No, that's it. That's your three Pro Bowlers right there. Now, wait a minute. Sitting next to sitting next to Miller. My God, who's on the very? Here I am brain farting. There's another outside linebacker on the other side of Miller, who is playing Pro Bowl level, but he just doesn't get the shine that he should. He's very underrated, and I can't think of the guy's name. But they have, as a unit, they perform well because they have that – Miller has that compliment. Now, but Mack is kind of doing it by himself. He's got some weapons now, but his first two seasons, he was a one-man show. And now he's even healthier, if you can believe that. He's healthier than he was his first two seasons. I don't know, man. I think he's I think he's one of those guys that is a once in a lifetime talent. I think he could definitely play all line and linebacker positions. You know, I think he's the best guy there for a lot of reasons: strength, agility, and smarts. You know, he can read a play. He knows exactly coming right off that block who's going to do what and when. He just has it. He's one of those. He's just like LT. That extra special sonar thing going on. And so I really, really dig him. But he's my guy, and I'm coming out of AFC West schedule in front of me. But I'm here to tell you that the Raiders are going to continue. The Raiders are going to continue with this.
They're
going to
continue
to
flow.
Yeah, they really are. And they're going to flow all the way to Las Vegas. But that's another story, another time.
Hold on. Let me ask that same question. I'm going to bring on DB Nation joining us on the Thanksgiving recap. Hey, DB Nation. What up, DB Nation?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, I got to ask you a question. You're a football guy. Who's the best linebacker in that AFC West? Is it Khalil Mack? Is it Von Miller? Is it Justin Houston? Who do you have as your
I don't know, man. I just called in just now, caught the back end of that Raiders thing. But the Raiders are for real. I believe that they are. And until someone proves them otherwise, they're going to beat whoever's in front of them. And Khalil Mack is a monster. Like, no disrespect to Von Miller. It's close, but the year Khalil Mack is having is tremendous. And those Raiders are balling, man. They're for real.
Yes, they are.
They went in the AFC West, guys? He has them. Raiders win in the AFC West. You have them, too?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. Until proven otherwise, yeah, I believe in the Raiders, man. They have run game. You know, Carr's out there balling. I know he dislocated. I don't know if it was his pinky or something like that on that snap.
Yeah.
But he came back in with a glove on his hand, and pretty much they shot him up in the locker room with some numps, some painkillers. Hey, let me get back out there and win this game. And their defense is balling. They got linebackers. They got D-line. They have a good secondary. They're a solid team, man. And they're not a joke. They're definitely proving people wrong.
And Chris, let me go back. Let me take a step backwards because we were talking about the NFC team. Now, DB Nation, we were talking about the Giants, and we got to hear you sound off on the post game after the win over the Browns. But what teams in the NFC? I mean, let's put the Cowboys out there. They got the 10-1 record. I mean, we got to respect that. What teams are a threat in the NFC? I mean, if you want to say our Giants, cool. But is there any of the NFC teams that you say, hey, you know what? They have a chance. They have a shot of making a run.
Yeah, definitely, man. Them boys out there in Seattle, man. The Seahawks are back, man. You know, they got that running back. I forget his last name. I think he's number 32. But even when he was out, the rookie dude was balling. Like, Russell Wilson looks good. His ankle and his knee, they might not be 100%, but the way he's scrambling and making those throws, the Seahawks, and then Killer Cam Chesler's back. So that dude is a problem. He's a problem no matter what. Like, as soon as he came back, the whole defense was like, oh, we're alive now. Let's smash fools. Yep. So the Seahawks are definitely that team in the NFC, I believe.
So that game yesterday was just a fluke out of Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, what they pulled off, not even allowing a touchdown to the Seahawks. Not to say the Seahawks offense is all that. But so the Seahawks will bounce back, we're saying, right?
Yeah, I believe they will. I mean, it's just one of those things where you come in with a big head. Like, you know, like maybe going into Tampa, we should walk all over these boys, but that's another team, though. I give them a couple years. Jameis Winston, that boy's for real, too, man. He be placing that ball. He makes good decisions. And Mike Evans, I think he has, like, 11 touchdowns already. They're connecting like crazy. I mean, they need a running game because Doug Martin, I think he fumbled on, like, a third and one or fourth and one. But, the Seahawks, that was one of those games where they just went in there a little gassed up, thinking we're going to roll over these fools. And Jameis Winston and the rest of those dudes came to play.
Because now that I think about it,
DeMarcus Ware was who I was trying to think of before.
Oh, yeah, the old cowboy 3-4 guy.
DeMarcus
Ware.
I just couldn't get it out of my head. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we were looking at the NFC South, too. I mean, the Falcons and Buccaneers, they already played their two games against each other. The Saints are actually two games back of the Falcons with one to play against them. I think the Buccaneers and the Saints maybe have another game. I think the Panthers are done, DB Nation, and Chris. Yeah. I think Chris agrees with that. The Panthers are done, correct?
Yeah. Pretty much. They've lost seven already. Now the Saints.
How did you guys feel about the Saints? Now, I mean, you never know. It seemed like it's like a tale of two. One of those classic dome teams. Like I said, I was saying about the Falcons. How you feel about that, DB Nation, with the Saints? You think they're gonna come along?
Offensively, yeah, but in the way they defense, because they've been playing almost every game this season, unless I miss one, has been a shootout, high scoring, back and forth. Their defense is sorry. Their secondary is weak, you know. And Drew Brees has to put up the points. The pressure is still on his shoulders, unfortunately.
Right.
And you know, but Atlanta, they're like they remind me of the bringing it to the NBA, the Seattle Supersonics back in the days, man. Always had a great, you know, regular season. When it came playoff time, they just shit the bed. It was just like, we don't know what playoffs mean. So I'm not impressed with Atlanta. Don't get me wrong, Julio Jones, they got weapons on offense, Devontae Freeman and all that. But if they do come out on top, because I think it's a toss-up between them and New Orleans, but even if they make the playoffs, someone from the NFC, whether it's Giants, whoever, someone's going to shut them down and kick their butts out of the playoffs. So I'm not impressed with Atlanta like that. They got to show me.
Hey, Chris, I have to ask you a question. We never talk about the Titans. You think they're going to come out of the blue and win the AFC South now?
I bet you they will. I don't know. I tell you what. Every now and then, you're going to get that team that you have not even blinked for that just sort of shows up. And this is that team. Mariota and Rashad, I think it's Rashad Matthews.
Yeah, Rashad Matthews.
Well, as Delanie Walker, they've got really a great, great unit going on over there. They got something really, really happening. It's very special. They have their defense is it's okay. It keeps you in games. It's not world beating status yet. But if you look at that, if you look at that AFC South, I don't know what Houston has. Sometimes I don't know what I don't even think they know what they have. You know, the Colts have no defense, and nowadays they don't have the quarterback, Mr. Luck. And then it's Jacksonville. End of story. They have to win.
Yeah.
They have to win it. And you know, DeMarco Murray is starting to come along.
We'll put the Nation on mute real quick. Go ahead.
Okay.
Finish it.
DeMarco Murray's coming along. But what I really like about them, Steve, is their line. Consisting, by the way, on their right, both of their offensive tackles are guys that I wanted badly for our team, Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin. They are killing it right now. They're killing it. So everything's working offensively for them. And they have a hell of a running game, man, with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, the Heisman Trophy
Alabama.
Winner.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're working that defensively. There's a lot of no-name guys there, but they are, like I said, you know, Brian Arapo, he woke up again for some reason. I thought he was dead in the water when he coming from
He brings a little from Washington, yeah.
Yes, and they have a lot of no-name guys over there. There's a couple of guys I've watched that I really like. They got a guy, a cornerback, McCourtry. He's pretty good, and on the offensive line, they got this guy.
That's Devin's brother from the Patriots.
That's right. And then they got a defensive lineman Daquan Jones from Penn State. I've been liking him quite a bit. So they've got what they have is young legs. They've got young legs, and that'll win it for you every time. Now they're 6-6, but stand by.
That division is winnable. I mean, they're right there. I mean, half a game behind the Texans, and I think Murray.
Yes.
DeMarco Murray. He's like the number two rusher in the league. I mean, so if you could run the ball as the number two rusher, you could definitely set a play action, especially with those two tight ends, like you mentioned with Fasano and Delanie Walker. And Mariota's a smart player. He's not going to take too many high-risk throws. He's not really a gunslinger. He's kind of a glorified game manager who's smart. He's a smart player. He's always been a smart player. Hey, DB Nation, if you're back with us, how you feel about the Titans?
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off of what Chris said, man. The Titans, I like them, man, because I've always been an underdog fan, and no one believed that the Titans would be where they are right now. I don't care who you are, even Titans fans, they probably were like, yeah, you're right. But Mariota, like you said, he doesn't make a lot of dumb decisions. He is mobile, which a lot of people underestimate. If he needs to rush for a first down, he's smart enough to get out that pocket and get that first down. I think he should slide a bit more because a few times he'll go head first and he needs that shoulder in his head. But yeah, man, the Titans, they look good. You know, with Henry out of Alabama, I kind of would like to see him used a bit more because he's definitely a bruiser. And DeMarco Murray as well. You know, Delanie Walker, like you talked about, the offense and the defense, they're kind of a bend but don't break. Like you said, keep winning the game type D. So I like the Titans. You know, I like to see them kind of go for it because no one gave them a chance. Out of all the teams in the league, I think nobody really wants to play Tennessee. They're like, man, these cats have some ballers.
I'm
feeling Tennessee on that. Mm-hmm.
You know, I have I'm going to reserve my personal thoughts on the AFC North when we talk about the Steelers at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, our preview versus Giants versus Steelers on round table. I'll reserve that because I have
a lot to say.
We're not going to even have enough time. But let me ask you this on the college football tip, Chris, because I've been dying to ask you because I know you're an Ohio State guy. You're an Ohio State guy. I'm kind of anti-Ohio State. I'm kind of like anti-Ohio State. you know, let me ask. Let's just get to the chase. Michigan got robbed, dude. Now, do you agree or disagree with that?
They did. They did get robbed.
Okay, then. Now we're.
I totally agree with you. Yes, they did get robbed. But you know, I lend it more to the mystique behind this rivalry. You know, there's a lot of weird things that go on between historically with these two teams. And I believe there are times, and this is one of them, I believe, where even the referees or the officials, they get intimidated by the surrounding. And that's what happened in the second overtime. I mean, I'm glad my team won, but it was a little suspect. You're right. I'm not gonna really dog that out. That's what happened, man. It was jacked up. I'm sorry.
Hey, Ninja, did you see that game, Michigan Ohio State, the noon game in Ohio State?
I caught the highlights because I was out of town for Thanksgiving. But yeah, I think that Ohio State got away with one though. To be honest, because looking at those highlights, like Michigan did have some opportunities where they should have won that game. But you know, when it comes to referees and making plays, man, and you're in the in that huge stadium, I think they got away with one. Even though they're still ballers, you're not taking anything away from the Buckeyes. But I think Michigan should have had that one.
That was a bad spot with the football, man. Terrible spot.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst spots I've ever seen, man, especially in that situation where everything's on the line. It's either you go to, the playoff or you pretty much – your season's done. You know, nobody's really there to really for the conference championship crap. You know, you're there for the big marbles, you know? So
yeah, I think when it comes to huge spots like that are game-determining spots, even if you're a Buckeyes fan, you look at that spot and be like, I don't know what kind of eyes the ref had. I don't know what he was looking at, but we'll take it, because that's your team. But when you look at a terrible call is just a terrible call, man. I just there's really just no other way in sports to personally to describe it. It's like, that's just a bad call. Like, I think referees, to be honest, personally, I think they have a false sense of pride when they figure we got to stick with this call, man. The world's watching. But I think there should really be more penalties against referees in all sports, man, when it comes to bad calls like that.
Especially on the replay.
Yeah.
And you saw the replay. You saw the replay everybody in the world was looking at.
Right.
I know. It was not good. Not good. That's all I can say.
So with that said, Alabama is probably still in the driver's seat going to win everything. I mean, they can still get clipped off, but I just don't see it, man. You got any additional thoughts, Chris, on the college football landscape, Alabama,
actually,
Clemson?
Question of a game I didn't see. What exactly happened in the Louisville Kentucky game? What happened there? I one of the reasons I didn't even see it is because I didn't care. I just knew Louisville was going to walk all over them. Wrong.
I think it's just carryover. I mean, two things. I mean, when these rivalry games, those in-state rivalry games could be real, it could be real closer than what's expected. I think Kentucky is not one of those great teams, but they're kind of slightly underrated in that SEC East. But, I mean, I'm not Kentucky. Louisville really coming off the real bad loss even the week before with Houston. I mean, I think they mailed it in then.
Yeah.
You know, that Thursday game, they mailed it in, man. It's just... I mean, what we saw from Lamar Jackson and the spectacular things, it's kind of like almost damn near went to waste because I thought they played a great game, that Louisville-Clemson game earlier this year. But I can't say it. The Cardinals, man. I can't see it, man. I thought they were a threat to the picture. I guess not. DB Nation, what's your thoughts as far as the college football landscape, the heavy hitters? Who else we got, man?
I hadn't really been following it too tough recently, but, I already know that it's going to be Alabama and Ohio State. I don't know how far down Michigan dropped. But to be honest, I couldn't believe how many Big Ten, it's Big 12, how many teams. You got Michigan, you got Ohio State. There's a lot of teams in the top 10. That's impressive. Penn State, aren't they number 7 in Wisconsin?
Yep. Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of caps from that. To be honest, I really don't know, because the way upsets happen in college football, it's way different than the pros. So, you never know. It could be like upset nation in the next few weeks.
Yeah. And Chris, my last question on Ohio State, since now they're moving on. Are you a believer in JT Barrett? And Chris, how you feel about that?
I seriously think that JT Barrett is going to be another Danny Cannell. I think he's he's a great college football quarterback. College football quarterback. I think he's a winner on this level, at a bowl level, and the whole nine, but it stops right there.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he do surprise us, but I can't say. I can't. I don't think. And also is the way he came in. You know, when college coaches when they come in with a juggling threesome of quarterbacks that they don't know who's gonna start, who's gonna run the ball in certain situations, they make them situational kind of quarterbacks and such. It goes to tell me right there that neither one of these guys is good enough to have the job. And if you really paid attention to Ohio State, Barrett sort of was kind of Meyer's favorite guy. So through attrition, he sort of, you know, got an extra edge, got a little bit of a back push to be the starter, even though we've seen some really spectacular shit out of him. So he's a Urban Meyer quarterback. That's what he is. Mm. He's a very good Urban Meyer quarterback. In fact, if you look very closely, Steve, and DB Nation, you'll notice that his game is exactly how Alex Smith was when Alex Smith was in Utah. It's the very same quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So that will not – I don't think that could translate past the NCAAs, man. I'm being real. I'm just being real. That's
all right. Let me go get some final thoughts. DB Nation, I know you had a lot to say on the Giants, on the postgame, Giants winning over the Browns, but just let out your total thoughts on that.
On that Browns game?
Either or, however you want to do it.
Well, one thing I wanted to say real quick on that Ohio State quarterback situation, it's crazy how these quarterbacks get converted to these receiver/return type positions. Because you look at the Browns and you look at Terrell Pryor, he's playing receiver. And then I realized the other quarterback, I forgot his name, from Ohio State, he's on the Texans playing receiver, like slot, I think.
Yeah.
And I was like, hold on, he's playing receiver on us. Like, this guy was a beast at Ohio State, and now all of a sudden he's like maybe a second, third string receiver. It's crazy how they do that with quarterbacks. But yeah, man, the Giants, man, they just got to – They really got to get it together, man, because it really makes you want to punch the TV, you know, when you're watching those games. Like, and another thing they're going to have to really work on, I think, defensively, even though the defense has been keeping us in games, is the watching those seam routes. It's crazy how when you watch NFL games, how tight ends are wide open on seam routes. It doesn't matter if it's Gronkowski, Kelce from the Chiefs. Any good to average tight end is going to roast us up the middle if we don't if our linebackers aren't keying on those tight end type routes. Because Dak Prescott, anybody would find a tight end. So, but that offense, man, I know we have a banged up line. I think one thing that's really important, whenever you have a weak offensive line, I think screen passes are an O-line and quarterback's best friend sometimes. And I think that McAdoo should kind of mix it up a little bit every now and then, because when you're on defense, because I remember playing football in high school and college, when you see a screen, you're not too happy about that because you have to come and blow it up or else they're getting yards. You got to engage linemen. It could be a fullback leaking out, another receiver. I think the Giants should dump off a few more screens to Bobby Rainey, even put Shepard in the back. You know, he has speed. He has quickness. Just mix it up a little bit more with a few screens to take that pressure, because those D-lines, they know that they're better than the Giants O-line. So I think they just need to dump, you know, Ben McAdoo, I think, to implement just random screens here and there, middle screen, screen right, screen left, and I guarantee we'll do some work. Because even when Rainey was in there a few weeks ago, when Jennings was out, he did work. He was getting yards. He was moving the ball. You know, so I think and Eli, he just has to be focused. That's just that's something from within. You know, that you can't coach that. That's just having heart and having guts. You know, he just has to focus more. He's been there before. He's won Super Bowls. It's nothing new. He just needs to focus on getting the ball downfield to these receivers. And I think we'll be in good shape. Special teams, hey, there's been a lot of missed extra points, too, around the league. You know, so Robbie Gould, he has to step it up. And, you know, extra points are going to be huge when it comes to the playoffs. We have to be perfect on extra points and special teams.
All right, DB Nation, man. His thoughts on the Giants, the carryover from the post game, man. Chris, you have any additional thoughts? I'm gonna reserve everything. I'm gonna reserve everything for Saturday. I think I said my two cents.
DB Nation was real messy. He was messy. I gotta give you a little credit, man. Well, everybody was yelling and gone crazy. He sort of like was like, hey, this is what we are. So we've got to do it.
Yeah, but he also said open hand slap fire out of him though.
Yeah.
And, oh yeah.
Well, you know what? That was, I tell you what, that was a hell of a podcast yesterday, man. At one point you would have actually thought that the Giants got their ass kicked by 3 touchdowns. you talk about jumping on your child for stealing your money out the pocketbook or something. Shit. It was something else. But that's what makes this so great, man. That's what makes this forum so great, and that's why we're so engaged and devoted in what we do. Because we believe, you know, I truly believe we know more than the coaches sometimes, man. We know what we need. You know, I mean, listen to what DB Nation just said. You know, if he was coach, he'd probably mix it up. We'd probably see some entertaining shit on the field. You know, we might see Shane Vereen with 10 catches, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, we do what we do, bro. We do what we do. I'm sorry, Steve. What was you saying? Sorry about that.
No, that's it for me, man. We'll just carry that episode on Saturday when we talk about the preview shows on Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning. And we'll have fun with the stakeholders because I have a lot to say on the Steelers' upcoming matchup because it's definitely not a walk in the park, as we all know.
No.
But the last time we went to Pittsburgh, we actually did win that game, you know, so.
We did, and I'm going to tell you what, this would be a very good shot in the arm. We say this every week. It's like I said at the top of the show. Every week we always say we need this, we need this, we need this, we should do this, we should do that. This is one of those times where we should, going forward, I mean, so far the season has been an achievement. You want to help come a little closer to crowning it? We got to go to Pittsburgh on that hospital field, right out there in the middle of Heinz Ketchup Field, whatever it's called. Just perform, man. We have the ability to do that. They are not world beaters either, by the way.
And let's hope, as good as our goal line defense has been, DB Nation and Chris, as long as Mike Tomlin
mm-hmm.
keeps on going for 2-point conversions, that plays into our hands, man. I like that, man. I thought that was crazy he was doing that against the Cowboys, all those 2-point conversions.
Hey, did anybody see the end of the Ravens game yesterday?
I saw a little bit of that, yeah. The Bengals are done. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely. The Bengals were going to I think the Ravens were going to punt. I'm trying to figure out what the situation was. But the Ravens held every offensive player they could during the – you got to see it. It's worth looking at. But, I'm just ready to move on. I'm ready to move on. Look, man, I'm like you guys and everybody, every other stakeholder, I'm really invested in our team, and I just see a lot of positivity. We got some tough games ahead, but they're winnable. Well, they actually are winnable. We can actually make this happen, but we have to go 1 week at a time, and we got to focus 1 week at a time at our perceived goal, and next week is Pittsburgh, and we'll handle that on Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, DB Nation, man, thank you very much for taking off the time to talk NFL college football here on this recap.
DB Nation.
Hey, no problem, fellas. It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Bleed blue.
I will see you on Sunday. Will I see you Saturday morning, sir?
Yeah, you will. I was out of town for a bit, you know, but I'm back now.
All right.
Nation, well, Chris, Steve, Bleed Blue Show. And this episode is going to be on the website as well, and iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, your Stitcher apps, and you hear the great fans of our teams talk sports, man.
One more thing.
Yes, sir. What?
One more thing. My boy Manny Dogs that called in, the one he was acting all crazy,
man.
The one who called out of Sioux Falls. Yeah, he and I, we've been
that
friends since seventh grade.
Nice.
He and I have been friends
since seventh
grade.
He said
Eli Apple couldn't cover a twin bed with a tub.
Yeah,
that
may have been the quarter
of the year.
You got to
call into this show because this is a great Giants forum right here. You got to call in. So, yeah, I told him about it.
Without a doubt, man. Yeah, he was.
Hey, make sure he's there on Saturday morning.
Like Steph Curry from 35 feet out, all net. It was 35 feet out, like Steph Curry, all net.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
all net.
All
net.
All right, y'all.
Yeah, we get out of here, man. Bleed blue.
All right.
Man.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.